Let's open our Bibles to the book of James, chapter 4. So, I've been talking about understanding for times like these. And a thought crossed my mind this week as I was putting this message together. We're going through a pandemic. Eventually, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, this will be over. But think back before the pandemic. Think about now in the pandemic. Think about what maybe will be on the other side. And I want to say to all of us, God wants us to have common sense, and God wants us to have godly wisdom as we go through all of these things. And when I think about what common sense is, it's this sense of knowing that God gives us that shows up in our lives by us making responsible and credible decisions. And then when I think about what godly wisdom is, it's us being able to use the knowledge and understanding that God gives us in a God-honoring way. I'll read a verse for you out of Proverbs. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And then I'll connect that verse with one that's also found in the book of James. "But the wisdom from above is always pure, filled with peace, considerate, and teachable. It is filled with love and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form." So, here we are, the beginning of another week. The pandemic is ongoing. And I just want to challenge you to realize that the closer we draw to God and the more yielded we are to Him, what we will experience in our life is just everyday common sense. And we can also have godly wisdom. And just as Amy sang just a moment ago, God will take care of you. And He'll use these things to help us to take each day in a way that would be good for us, good for others, and would honor Him. So let's take a look at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.' Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." So let's go back. We've spent a little time each week so far on verse number 14. And I want to call your attention to maybe the latter part of that verse, which says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." I think sometimes we need to be reminded that life is short. I know for me that when life is going well and when things are moving fast and things are good, then I have that tendency to sometimes think, this is the way it's going to always be. I'm on a good roll and it's just going to keep on going. And to be honest with you, when we're in those kind of scenarios in our lives, we hope that it will never, never end. We get caught up in the rush. We get caught up in the excitement. And we kind of lose that divine perspective that we need in life, that our lives are short. There's a man by the name of Mark Buchanan, and I think it was back in 2007. He wrote a book that was called The Rest of God: Stopping to Find What's Missing. And I'd like to read an excerpt out of his book and make a few comments. He wrote, "Someone asked me recently what was my biggest regret in life. I thought a moment, surveying the vast and cluttered landscape of my blunders and losses, the evil I had done, and the evil that's been done against me. "Being in a hurry," I said. And he wrote in the book the word "pardon" with a question mark, like someone was right there asking him, like, "What?" And he went on and he said, "Being in a hurry. Getting to the next thing without fully entering the thing in front of me. I cannot think of a single advantage I have ever gained from being in a hurry. But 1,000 broken and missed things, tens of thousands, lie in the wake of all that rushing. Through all that haste, I thought I was making up time. It turns out I was throwing it away. The Chinese joined two characters to form a single pictogram or graph for busyness, heart and killing. That is stunningly incisive. The heart is the place the busy life exacts its steepest toll. So we slow down for a moment on a Sunday. And already I think the things that we've experienced, the things we've shared, hopefully they have helped us relax a little bit, to slow down a little bit. And I thought, if this pandemic can't slow us down, what will? And to put it in a biblical context, in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, I think most of us have heard these words. It's verse number 10. "Be still and know that I am God." And could I say to all of us this morning, that's what we're choosing to do when we attend a worship service, in public or online. That's what we are doing when we have our personal devotion time. That's what we're doing when earlier in this service, we just all bowed our heads and silently we talked to God. That's what we did when Matt led us in prayer and we tracked with the words he was saying on our behalf to God. That's what we were doing when Hunsu was playing and Amy was singing. It's like we're trying to downshift. We're trying to get out of the rat race. We're trying to be reminded that life is short and being in a hurry isn't always an advantage. And that sometimes if we'll, as that saying goes, if we'll just stop and smell the roses, it can help us considerably. Here's another thought about our lives. When life is hard and things are moving slow, and for a lot of us, we know what that's been like. We may know what that is like right now. We spend way too much mental energy trying to get through each day. We sometimes forget because it just seems like life is just one thing after another. There's no fun. It's all hard. A lot of times it's bad. Again, we sometimes forget life is finite. I came across another book called The Body, A Guide for Occupants. It came out in 2019, so just last year. The author is Bill Bryson. He's this author who he writes about travel. He writes about the English language. He writes about science. He writes about a lot of different things that are, you know, non-fictional topics. So in this book of his, listen to what he shares with us. He starts by talking about our bodies, the human anatomy, and he kind of gives us this look from head to toe, from the outside in. And so he writes, the skin consists of an inner layer called the dermis and an outer epidermis. The outmost surface of the epidermis is made up entirely of dead cells. It is an arresting thought that all that makes you lovely is deceased. Where body meets air, we are all cadavers. When I read that particular paragraph, it took me to a verse out of 1 Peter. Actually, it's two verses in chapter 3. This is the contemporary English version. "Don't depend on things like fancy hairdos or gold jewelry or expensive clothes to make you look beautiful. Be beautiful in your heart by being gentle and quiet. This kind of beauty will last, and God considers it very special. I thought about Bill's quote. I thought about what 1 Peter added. And we probably say this or think this in different ways. So let me just verbalize this maybe for all of us this morning. A beautiful facade cannot really cover up a mean spirit or an ugly soul, whether you're a male or a female. So life has its own way of maybe helping us to slow down, to think about what really matters, to think about who really matters, to think about what is going on inside of each of us. What is the condition of my spirit? What is the condition of my soul? Bill Bryson went on and he wrote, "These outer skin cells are replaced every month. We shed skin copiously, almost carelessly, some 25,000 flakes a minute, over 1 million pieces every hour. Run a finger along a dusty shelf, and you are in large part clearing a path through fragments of your former self." And the Bible just simply says, from dust to dust. So let's take a moment to think a little better about this fleeting life. Phillip Rivers has been an NFL quarterback for a number of years. Tremendous stats. He's had something to say on this I think would be helpful to us. Life is too short to just go through the motions. I read that quote this week and three words came to mind. Sincerity. I want to go through life with more sincerity. Honesty. We hear it said honesty is the best policy. And then there's just simply that word integrity. We want to be the same on the inside as we are the outside. We want people wherever and whenever they see us, in what we say, how we say it, how we live our lives, where we go, what we do. We want people to see a consistency. We want to go through life demonstrating a character that we don't have to be embarrassed about. There's a man by the name of Francis Bacon, and I thought I'd include him just because of his last name, Bacon. Did any of you have some bacon this morning? Karen and I didn't. Matt, okay, Matt, David, Pauline. Okay, we're going to come over to your house for next Sunday and have breakfast with you. But his name is Francis Bacon. And he said, "Begin doing what you want to do now. We are not living in eternity. We have only this moment, sparkling like a star in our hand and melting like a snowflake." So it's all about just realizing, don't let the daily grind suck the life out of us. Let's embrace every day and realize it's a gift, and let's make the most of it. Sometimes we'll have to endure, but hopefully every day we embrace it and we enjoy it. There's a person by the name of Peabo Bryson. "Life is too short to harbor any hostilities toward anybody." There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about that one simple truth, really. And so I want to pause for a moment. We've been living, and God's given all of us all of these days that we've so far lived. But I want to ask you this morning, and just to be helpful, is there anyone that you have hostility in your heart toward? Is there anyone that you're harboring a grudge? Is there anyone that if his or her name shows up or their image is in front of you or they come to mind, there's a darkness that kind of rises up from within? Maybe we need to stop and be reminded today. The Bible says, how can we say we love God whom we have not seen if we can't love the people whom we have seen? And so if we're not careful, we'll go through life and there will be all kinds of dirt and grime that will literally attach itself to us like a virus, like a bacteria. And whether we realize it or not, it makes us sick on the inside. We lose our joy, We lose our contentment. We lose our happiness. We lose our positivity. And all of those things can just be happening so gradually that this amazing life that God's allowing us to live, we sometimes let ourselves become cynical and we pride ourselves in disobedience and we just let life kind of mess up and then we do our own thing, messing it up. And I am just convinced that when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, pray continually, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us." God has a so much better way for us to live. Here's someone's name you may recognize, Channing Tatum. He has said, "Life is too short to miss out on the beautiful things like a double cheeseburger." I don't know if that's what you would call a double cheeseburger. I have to confess regularly, a beautiful thing, a half gallon of Blue Bell ice cream. So just stop and think for a moment. What makes you smile? What reminds you that this really is a good world? And there's beauty in it. So we stop and we think, how's my life unfolding? Regardless of how old we are, it really is going by quickly. And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about our lifespan, and it uses the phrase 70. And we begin to realize that if we're doing the math, that's 70 years. So for all of us who are over 35, there's a good chance we may be on the downhill slide, right? But then think about how close are you to your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s. Think about that. Don't take this life for granted. But I want to go a step farther with that. Not only don't take it for granted, but prepare for eternity. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter where we live. The Bible speaks truth to all of us. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." If you knew that today was the last day of your life, what would you do differently today to prepare to meet God? Reading out of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. "Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." We want to make the most out of the life that God's giving us. We want to use common sense. We want to continually increase in godly wisdom. We want to not lose sight that life really is short. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. James Dean said this, "Dream as if you'll live forever, but live as if you'll die today." We know that life is a gift. So I hope that when you woke up this morning, you honestly could have that quiet moment and that thankful heart. And you could just say, "Thank you, God, for another day. Help me to make the most of it." But go beyond that. God, help me to prepare for eternity. I'd like to kind of start wrapping things up with a couple of stories. The first one comes from Italy. As most of us know, back when the coronavirus started showing up on our news, whether it was online or on TV or whatever form we were using, Italy was one of those countries that really got hit hard. And This is a story that comes, it was given by a doctor, Dr. Lorenzo, and it was a statement, it was an article, it was his story that he was sharing, and it got translated into English for us, and then it showed up in some of the things that crossed, you know, my desk through email. And this is a rather interesting story, and I'll just read it, and this is his story. Until 2 weeks ago, me and many of my colleagues were atheists. 100% believed that science excludes God because we are doctors. I used to look at my parents at church and mock them. A 75-year-old clergyman arrived here 9 days ago. A poor man. He was struggling to breathe, but he always had a Bible in his hand. He reads it to the patients who are dying and reads to them quickly. He places the Bible in the hands of some, and we looked at it intently. So visualize this moment if you can. You're a doctor and the patients are piling up, the hours are just going by, and there's no end in sight. And all of a sudden, a priest, and he's carrying a Bible, and he's one of the many that this doctor and others are treating. Dr. Lorenzo goes on and he says, "We came to see that as human beings, we have reached our limits." And that's this healthcare professional saying we're doing all we can do and it is not enough. And he adds, "There is nothing we can do except increase the death toll of the people we care about." We begin to notice his work, the work of this priest. We begin to feel that God begins where man ends. Slowly, we approach the priest. And this doctor goes on to say, as a result of the influence on them, speaking of himself and his other doctors and nurses, he says, "We who were atheists until yesterday now pray to God for peace. Pray for us to help care for the sick. The courage that was supposed to be lost has somehow returned. We are more energetic now." And that's this doctor talking. And keep in mind, this priest has only been with them a few days. And then he goes on and he says, "Yesterday, that 75-year-old priest died. He helped to give us the peace we never expected in just 9 days when all hope was shattered. Remembering that we were helped by his weakness, the Good Shepherd went to the Lord." And then he said, "Now I realize I am nothing on this earth, but I will live like that priest until my last breath for others." We're living in a hurting world. And yet here we are. This is our time. What is happening did not take God by surprise. And each and every one of us have been positioned with the people around us that we have an opportunity to shine as a light in the darkness. I'm humbled by the idea that a religious man, a Catholic priest, with a faith that was real enough, that he loved God and he loved people more than obviously his own life, spent his last 9 days making a difference in the lives of other dying people and making a difference in the lives of doctors and nurses who are probably still serving others. God help us to serve others. Amen. And I want to tell you one other story. This one becomes a little more personal. My dad passed away 25 years ago. He was 69 years of age at the time. And it was not this past Friday, but the one before. When I woke up that morning, I had just this clear mental picture of my father, whom I've not seen for 25 years. Pictures, yes, but not him in person. And this is where it gets interesting. I've never had a dream like this. I've never had an experience like this. And I talked with Karen about it that morning when we walked. And then over last weekend, after thinking about it more and just trying to process it and still not totally understanding it, I called my brother and I called my sister in Louisiana and shared this story with them. But it's not anything more than almost like a short video, or primarily just a snapshot. I'm in my office at church, and I stand up to walk out the door, and as I step into the hall and turn to my left to go down the hall, my dad is standing right in front of me. And it's like time freezes. He's got this huge smile on his face. His eyes have that sparkle. And I just look at him. And there is a peace and a contentment that was absent for years, maybe even a few decades in my dad's life, that seemed to just show up in every aspect of his face. And as I just stood there and I looked at his face, and my sister, Karen, asked me, what was he wearing? When I was talking with her, I told her, I said, it was nothing unique. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary. It wasn't anything that drew me to his clothing. I was just mesmerized by his face. He looked younger than the last few times I had seen him. He looked so much healthier than for the last several years I had seen him. It was almost as if he was in his middle age years. He was a little heavier. But it was the eyes. It was the smile. It was the peace. It was the contentment. And then it was gone. That's going to be us one day, folks. Here today, gone tomorrow. I still don't know what to make out of this dream or this vision, other than to say I now accept it as a gift. I don't have anything else to compare that to. My sister also asked me, did you see Mom? And I went, no. It wasn't a family reunion, and I don't know why it was my dad. But I'm thankful. So this morning, I want all of us to be thankful. I want us to be thankful for the lives God is giving us to live. I want us to be thankful for the family members and friends that have blessed our lives who are no longer here. I want to be thankful that for everyone that we know as a loved one who's passed away, if he or she knew Christ, we are guaranteed a glad reunion day, according to the scriptures. I want to be thankful that I can honestly tell all of my family members and friends, I can tell whoever is willing to listen, if you believe in Jesus, not only will you see him one day, you're going to see me again one day. I want to be thankful that I can ask us this morning just three simple questions. The first one is this. Do you have any idea how much God loves you? You may be in a bad relationship and it doesn't feel like anybody loves you. God loves you. You may be in a hard work situation where all of your employees seem to be against you. God loves you. Here's the second question. Have you ever thought about what it means to really and truly have a personal relationship with Jesus? Not to just believe in God in general, but to know Jesus as your personal Savior. And here's the last one. Are you discovering what it means to fall in love with Jesus more and more every day? Not taking Him for granted. Not talking to Him just when you want something or need something. Just living each day hand in hand with your Savior. Falling in love with Him more and more each and every day. So as we usually do, I love these moments at the end of a service where we get to have what we call reflection and response. And I'll say a few other words to you, and then Hunsu's going to play. This is a really great time for all of us to just reflect on this hour that we're sharing together. How has God spoken to us? What do we need to say to our Heavenly Father? What does He want to be different in our lives? Who do we need to pray for who is far from God? What are our lives saying to the people around us? Do they see God in us? Do they know that we love Jesus? Not just through our words, but through our actions. So we get to reflect, and then we get to respond. And that just simply means we step forward. We do talk to God. And what He's putting on our hearts and minds right now, we share with Him. And we respond. So Hunsu, if you'll play, we'll take a few moments now and we'll all do the reflection and response time individually. I mentioned response, and let me just talk about that for a moment. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done this, but just as a reminder, you never know how God is speaking to people's hearts. And I've had people after our Zoom sessions on Wednesdays and Sundays get in touch with me about things that God spoke to them about and responses they needed to make. Some obviously privately between them and God. Others, they understood the importance of sharing those and taking steps forward. So I want to say to you, if you made a decision today to believe in Christ as your Savior, let me know. I'd love to pray for you and give you some help on what's next. I spoke not too long ago and made reference to just the importance of believer's baptism. And I've had people already get in touch with me and say, hey, let's talk about this more. Also, for just this idea, I talked about falling in love with Jesus more and more every day. If God put it on your heart today to rededicate your life to your Savior, let me know. That's kind of a step of accountability. It's also a step of acknowledgement of what God is doing in your life. And we'd love to be able to pray for you and support you in the decisions you're making to follow Christ and to believe in Christ in whatever way we can.